Hey, America!
Start listening now!
Wait. Where's Danny?
I was noticing we couldn't do this in four-part harmony.
Oh. Where's Danny?
We don't need Danny! Just start the music!
And welcome to another shorthanded episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision podcast from America, your plastic pal who's fun to be with. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
And I'm Samantha. Awkward pause.
It's a hitchhiker's... whatever. It's a joke. Well, ask your British friends about it. It was a great joke. Anyway, it took 93 episodes, but you got your revenge on Danny for saying we didn't need you.
Yeah, take that. I hold grudges. If there's that anybody knows about Samantha Rochelle Ross, it's that she holds grudges.
Wow,
and that my middle name is Rochelle.
Oh,
so now we have your full name.
That's cool.
Okay. My social security number is... No, wait. Yeah.
Speaking of Sam's social security number, Sam, hit him with the socials.
Oh, man, so secure. Yes, and you can reach out to us and ask for our social security numbers on Facebook or Twitter at 12pointsUSA on either of those two networks, or just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. If you are listening to us on, say, Apple Podcasts or Spotify or anything else that allows you to subscribe, rate, review, give us stars, let us know what you think, please do so. We love the feedback. And speaking of feedback, we are gearing up for episode 100. Oh my god, it's coming up so soon. We are recording episode 95 right now, which means in just a matter of weeks, we're going to be on episode 100. Those big round numbers, triple digits, y'all, and we need your help.
We finally made it.
I know.
We're in syndication now.
That's Ooh. Right. Yeah. They're going to show us on UPN at 3 in the afternoon.
Right after Seinfeld.
That's right, yeah.
Oh man.
It's exciting.
It is.
It's amazing. We did it.
But anyway, as we gear up for episode 100, send us your questions. We want all of your burning questions, your tepid questions, your freezing cold questions. Help us make show 100 fantabulous. We can't do it without you. We can't do any of this without you. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you.
For real. This doesn't happen without all of you, so thanks so much for tuning in. We've got a bit of news, a bit of Eurovision news on a few different fronts, and then some other stuff we're going to maybe talk about here. But I think the biggest shocking news of the week is that we finally got the big news we've all been waiting for from Luxembourg.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, they're not back again.
Oh.
They're not even a real country.
Yeah, do you hear something? Okay. Well, anyway, we have gotten our annual ritual from Luxembourg basically saying, yeah, we're still not coming back.
Oh.
I think they should come back. I mean, I think they should all come back. But they have a great history of success in the contest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unlike, you know, some countries that have only been in here and there. The only other two countries that have expressly said no to this point, besides Belarus, and we'll get to them a little bit more in a second as well. Slovakia has said no. Andorra has said no. Seemed like Andorra was going to maybe go for it for a while, but no.
There were rumors. I mean, I still hold out hope for future years. I think that it would be really a boon to have them back. They just need to be in the final just once, just to say that they made it into the final.
I feel like Spain or France would have to win for them to join up again. It'd be so convenient.
Yeah.
It really
would. If Barbara had won, I wonder if that might have been the thing that kind of pushed
them over the edge.
Yeah.
They're hosting in Toulouse.
Pushed it forward.
Maybe.
Yeah, there you go.
They just hop a bus.
Yeah. Perfect.
Sweet.
But yeah, Luxembourg has won 5 times. They're by far the most successful country that doesn't do this anymore.
Oh, yeah. Which is interesting considering that most of their winners weren't actually Luxembourgeois. They tended to import a lot of their artists, but they imported good stuff.
Is that really the demonym for people from Luxembourg?
I don't know.
I thought it was just like Luxembourgish.
Well, let me see what Wikipedia says.
They fly around in Luxembourg cubes.
Luxembeegs.
Luxembeegs. Ooh.
I like
ooh.
That.
Let's go with that.
Luxembots.
Luxemboys.
Luxemburger.
Luxemburger.
Oh, man.
Luxemburger.
Out of all my dumb answers, how was that not one of them?
Luxemburger. It's O-U-R.
Right, yeah. Well, that's a given. Yeah.
Luxem Juicy Lucy.
Ooh.
Mm.
This episode is brought to you by American Cheese.
Yeah, delicious American cheese.
We have quotation marks around both American and cheese.
That's right, yeah. Is it American? Yeah. Is it cheese? American cheese. Get yours today. Moving on. James Newman, our pal from 2021. Who put this extra little bit in here?
That was
Derek. Okay. he was recently in a lawsuit, one of those you stole my song sort of bits, but he won.
Yay.
A bit the opposite of what has happened of late.
Well, he was due a win, wasn't he?
He was due a win, and I think it's... We rat on the UK a lot, and I'm not meaning to do that, but...
Yes, we are. What are you talking talking about.
I'm not saying I'm not doing it. I'm saying I'm not meaning to do it.
Oh. Okay.
The BBC article on this, in the first sentence, could not seem to help itself but to point out, oh yeah, he finished last at Eurovision, by the way. Like, James Newman, who came in last, won a lawsuit. That was the headline, so...
Yeah, I think they brought it up like two or three times throughout the course. Like, we know. Yeah. And we wonder why the British public don't get behind the contest.
James seems great.
He does.
Want to go to a bar, get absolutely smashed, hang out with that dude, write some songs. Yeah, let's do it. James, be a friend of the show. You know what to do.
Sounds like you get all that done before 8 o'clock, knowing him.
Yeah,
and you can just knock that out. Like, all right, we're
good. Yeah, by song 10. This is what will happen there. So congrats to James on fending off what sounded like a pretty frivolous, dumb thing.
Yep. And it's funny because oftentimes in the Eurovision spheres, when songs sound even like remotely like another song that we happen to recognize, we think, oh, it's plagiarism. It's not. There is an actual process for this. I mean, just because Cascada is Glorious kind of sounded a little bit like Euphoria, it's not plagiarism. Stop it.
No.
There was that one song in the Portuguese semifinal or national final a few years ago.
Yeah, that was pretty blatant.
And if you like, when you heard them side by side, it's like, oh yeah.
But at the same time, yeah, I think I know the song you were talking about. It was it would have been 2018.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, Tico Pissarra, I think. And it was, but the thing is, the song that it was supposed to be being copied off of was so obscure.
Yeah.
How would you? I don't know. Again, I'm not a musicologist. I'm not the one who's deciding what is plagiarism and what's not. But after a certain point, you know,
it comes down to like which judge you get and which experts you can bring.
Well, and how good your lawyers are, I think, is a big part of it. I mean, I don't think Led Zeppelin should have won the Stairway to Heaven suit, but they did.
And John Fogerty certainly shouldn't have beaten himself when he was, you know, being sued by
his label.
For sounding too much like himself.
Yeah, John Fogerty should never beat himself. Anyway, let's see. Belarus. Belarus is in the news. Not in any sort of good way. They're definitely not coming back to Eurovision anytime soon.
Uh-uh. Especially when they alienate half of the singers and songwriters in their country, it seems.
Yeah.
A list was somehow circulating around Belarusian media and social media of a list of journalists and artists who had somehow ticked off the powers that be. I don't know if you can call these people, or if they were calling these people, enemies of the state, or just, you know.
This could go dark real fast.
It really...
when you were describing it,
Scary. It's, I mean, whether it's just these people have been blacklisted, or
these people are in a prison somewhere.
Right, and from what we can tell, this has not happened yet, but there are a number of artists who have, you know, most of the posts that I'm seeing from, say, for example, Naviband or Val, they're posting from Poland right now, not from Belarus. I don't know if they've moved there, if they're just, you know,
there,
or if they're just happen to be there. But the list that was circulating included a number of names that we know from Eurovision, including Angelika Agrabash, Polina Smolova, Dmitry Koldun, who was given Belarus their highest result at Eurovision ever, Light Sound, Uzari, Naviband and Val, like I mentioned, and then a number of junior Eurovision artists who, granted, are now old enough to be, you know, adults. Olga Satsyuk, Ksenia Sitnik, and Alexei Zhikalkovich, who the last two of those lists were actually winners for Belarus at junior, as well as commentators for the Belarusian national broadcaster. They don't work for them anymore. Denis Kurian and Evgeny Perlin, both of whom also were junior Eurovision hosts in 2010 and 2018, respectively. So these aren't just, you know, a handful of people who, you know, these are artists that are well-known and well-respected within the country. And their careers and possibly their freedoms could be on the line here. And holy crap. Like, what do you even say about this?
If you need a place to crash, I will hit us up on Twitter. I will give you Sam's address.
Thanks.
Yeah. I already have her full name.
Yep. Yeah. Keep on doing what you're doing. Stay strong. I do want to ask, you mentioned Uzari, the singer.
Yeah.
No word about Maimuna, the violinist?
I have not been checking her social media recently.
Fair enough. But she's not on the list, which is interesting.
Not that I saw.
And maybe just isn't super political and hasn't spoken up. I don't know. I'm not saying anything one way or another, but, and I know that they don't always perform together.
No, they're not. They weren't surgically attached to each other in 2015.
No, one of them was in that that thing.
Yeah,
the hourglass thing.
Yeah.
That song was great.
That was good.
It's one of my favorite non-qualifiers of all time.
And Bell Hooks has had quite a few good ones.
Good non-qualifiers?
Yeah, or at least enjoyable non-qualifiers.
Speaking of a couple of the other acts here, Val and Navi Band, they are still putting out a lot of new music, including at least one collaboration of the two together.
Yes.
And it's really cool.
Yeah,
it's really cool. So check that out. Navi Band has an album from a couple years ago that's really good.
Val has an EP that's really, really enjoyable.
And I will say, we played it on our radio show that's coming up in September, and I had forgotten about David Na, their song from 2020. That song is way better than I remember it being. That's actually a really good one. So if you haven't listened to that in a while, maybe listen to it again.
It's aged well.
Yeah.
It aged
really well.
I've never forgotten about David Na just because every single time that we hang out with Danny and see his cat walk around, whose name is Midna, I'm compelled.
And I gotta do the dance.
Dummy now. So yeah, Danny's cat is a theme song.
Oh, sorry. Are we still? Oh crap.
Yep, we're still recording.
Oh. All right. Well,
that's staying in.
Yeah, that's good. Enjoy. That's my treat for all of you, everyone. Is my little song there. Anyway.
Yep.
Go, people from Belarus. Please stay safe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we outside of Belarus, keep listening to these people's music if you're a fan. Keep supporting these artists. Keep following them on social media. And just continue to be aware of everything that's going on over there. I know it's heavy. I know it's a lot. I know we've all got 1,000 things on our plate. But, you know, being a global citizen and being globally aware, it's important. And honestly, I don't know about you guys, but it's one of the reasons why I'm a big Eurovision fan. It's just to get outside of what's right around me.
It's a really cool way to stay plugged into things and to learn about things and places and histories and things that I definitely wouldn't have picked up the way that I have. It's stoked my love of travel for me and for learning about new places and music styles and weird political intrigue from countries I otherwise know nothing about. Sometimes that's not so great. Everything sucks right now. I don't know if you guys have noticed that. It's rough. I had the TV on. I was waiting for something to start that I actually wanted to partake in, but like the news was on. I had to turn it off. We got 15 minutes in, like everything was bad. Just everything. Awful. Sucks.
Dummy nah.
Yeah, there we go. That doesn't suck.
Just sing about Danny's cat. Danny, by the way, we mentioned that he's not with us this episode. He is out. We hope.
We removed him.
Yeah.
He's no longer with us.
No.
He's fine.
He's off the grid. He's up in the Boundary Waters canoe area, which is basically a thing in northeastern Minnesota where you can go canoe and there's no internet. And it's very, very beautiful. I understand. I've never been there.
But it's not on fire.
When it's not on fire, which
was very recent.
So some of it is apparently now.
Yeah.
Something good. Let's do something good. Danny's alive. I'm sure of it.
Yep.
Let's see. We've got some info on a few of the contenders for the 2022 Eurovision.
Yeah. I mean, we have heard by the EBU's standards that we should know by the end of August where we're heading next year.
Yes.
And it seems like two or three cities really have kind of risen to the top of the odds. However, we've been hearing from mayors and representatives from a number of, I guess, some of the underdogs who want to give their shot of why we should be heading to their city over, say, Bologna or Turin next year. And San Remo's bid, it's actually kind of better than we thought it was.
It's not bad. There are still some concerns.
A lot of concerns.
The venue that was initially proposed, the one where they hold San Remo, which is called
the Ariston.
Thank you. Nowhere near big enough. It holds about 2,000, 2,500 people, something like that. That's not even close. The EBU wants 8,000 to 10,000 or so. But apparently they have a backup plan. There's a flower market in San Remo that is gigantic. And a decent chunk of it is indoors. The indoor space is apparently about three times the size of the space that was used in Tel Aviv, for instance. It's really big. That said, the seating is still not seating because it's flowers. the seating capacity, if you will, is still maybe not quite where they want. I think they quoted around 6,000 to 8,000. So they're kind of right there, but it doesn't give them a ton of wiggle room. Hotels is also borderline. The airport requirement, you have to be pretty close to an internet international airport. That part is fine. Most of the places are fine with that part. They say they have enough hotels if you count sort of outlying areas.
Does outlying areas include, say, southern France?
It might. I'm not sure.
Monaco?
Might be cheaper. Not Monaco, but southern France, quite possibly.
Yeah, I mean, even if they have a minuscule chance, at least it gets their name out there. It shows folks that San Remo is more than just a San Remo festival. And honestly, any opportunity for a city to get its name out there, it's a good opportunity. It takes a little bit of investment in order to put this kind of bid together, but the fact is we're talking about San Remo, and we're talking about all these other small cities all over Italy that really don't have a chance in hell to actually host the event. But now we know about these places. You know, I now want to go to, say, Rimini and Pesaro and places like that. Like, they sound cool, even if they're not Eurovision ready yet.
Yet.
I mean, like I've said in previous episodes, I think we're not going to have a contest like Mill Street again anytime soon. It's just not, the contest has just gotten so, so big. But, you know, why not swing for the fences, you know?
Do you have a preference?
Out of what's currently...
Yeah.
The more I read about Turin, the more I'm intrigued by it. I'm a foodie at heart, so knowing that that's the city that has given Italy some of its best coffee and chocolate, I'm all for it.
Derek, you're among the three of us, or the person who has spent the most time in Italy. Do you have a preference?
Oh, yeah.
Do tell.
I'd say Bologna, because the food in Bologna is phenomenal.
And even more, I mean, noticeably more than these other places?
I'll say this about Italy, and we can get more into this at another episode, but everywhere you go in Italy, the coffee is fantastic. I don't drink coffee, but when I'm in Italy, I'm drinking coffee every single day. It's like €1, and it's just phenomenal. And they're everywhere. Like, you're in the train station waiting for the train. Just walk up. It's €1. Get a cup of coffee, and it's fantastic.
Just walk up to any random Italian and be like,
they just
coffee,
have
please.
It in their pocket. No. There's coffee counters all over the place. And they don't do, like, fast food, Starbucks coffee kind of stuff. They have a lot of pride in their coffee. But Bologna has really, really fantastic restaurants, I remember. And they're close to other places that are really good. I've never been to Milan. I'd love to see Milan. I'd kind of, just looking at the list, I would prefer a city that's not quite as touristy. I think I mentioned before, Rome would be a bit much, I think, to have the contest in. Plus, just the infrastructure, I think it's kind of built more for the tourist crowd, so it's going to be a bit more expensive, maybe not as safe.
So where is Turin on that spectrum then?
I don't know if that's a huge tourist draw.
Not really. I mean, there's a lot of history there. It's, you know, Italy's unified Italy's first capital, so there's a decent amount of history with that.
You got that shroud.
Yeah, got the shroud.
The official church for the Shroud of Turin is amazing looking. I've never been there, but I saw pictures of it. It's phenomenal. It's like one of the most beautiful churches in the world. It's like very modern.
We need a very special house for this shroud.
A lot of museums, a lot of cathedrals to visit, all that other cool stuff.
Well, it's Italy.
And Italy is nice. It's such a nice country in that there's trains everywhere, they're super convenient, and you can get anywhere in like an hour if you wanted to.
Also, another reason that I'm kind of hoping it's Turin, I just watched The Italian Job for the first time. I know I'm way overdue.
Which one?
The original one.
Oh, the good one.
Oh, okay.
The Michael Caine.
Ah.
Michael Caine.
But yeah, I just want to go and ride in a Fiat just and get myself lost.
Free Fiats for everyone.
Yay! They're so small.
Look under your chair.
You get a Fiat, and you get a Fiat.
Yeah.
Just fit them in the pigeonholes. Everybody gets one.
On the subject of Eurovision 2022, I put something in here that I'm really hoping we can make a recurring segment until we start getting actual news. Because it's, and I don't think it will be difficult to do. It's called Dumb Rumor of the Week.
Yay!
And it's exactly what it says on the tin. Every week or two, there is an absolutely insane rumor that pops up and gains traction to the point where people have to report on it. It's always clearly false, like the Måneskin collaborating with Go-Ah thing.
I was kind of hoping for that one, actually.
Yeah.
I know.
To be fair, that one's not dumb. This one's dumb. The rumor was, for the life of me, I can't figure out where this started, but it picked up somewhere, somehow. I can kind of see why, even though it's obviously untrue. Mika, the singer who people like and is famous, you know, Mika, was rumored to be a host for 2022. And people like this idea. Again, Sure. Even though he's not Italian, he's British and Lebanese. He has a decent connection to Italy. He's been like an X-Factor judge there or
something like that. And France. So, I mean, honestly, if France had taken it, they could have done the exact same rumor as well.
Yeah. But like, I don't know. This is like if France won and people were like, well, they should get Jerry Lewis to host. They love him. And
there are other issues with that.
Yeah, there's a couple big ones, actually. Mm. Anyway, Mika's...
It's like if Germany wins again, they get David Hasselhoff to host.
See, I could actually see that happening, though.
Oh, crap. What have I just put out into the ether?
Yeah. Portugal got that check from NCIS, so.
That's true.
Yeah, Greece had Maria Menounos.
That's very, very true.
Who now does the news on the gas station.
The only person to both host Eurovision and have a match at WrestleMania, by the way. Maria Menounos. Anyway.
She's so tiny.
Really?
Yeah, that's
okay, Philomena Cautela, get on that.
It's only a matter of time. Anyway,
she seems scrappy.
yeah, I think she'd probably do pretty well. Fight John Cena, if she can find him. Anyway, the people that Mika has to deny things reached out and denied this and said, no, there's no foundation to this. We have no idea where this came from. But that's not the end of the story, because some of the other places that have reported on this have noted some other things related to both Mika and Eurovision, which are as follows. Supposedly, he said a few years ago that BBC have asked him to do Eurovision, possibly as many as 4 times, which may be true. I don't know. He was interviewed later that same year in France and was asked, well, would you ever consider doing it? And he said no, and he said this, and this is an exact quote, because most of the entries sent to the contest are shameful, they are pure
when did he say that, though?
2015.
Okay, it's even going from 2015 to now, it's a very, very different contest. And if
that's true, I bet he likes Måneskin just fine.
Yeah, and Barbara Pravi. Yeah, I mean, again,
John's Tears.
Yes,
I mean, John's Tears basically is Mika, and he's got to like. I mean, and they know each other. He was like his coach on The Voice of France.
Yes, right? Exactly.
So maybe he has a little more respect for it now. I still don't think he's going to do Eurovision. No. He's definitely not going to host Eurovision. That'd be weird. But anyway, that has been the dumb rumor of the week for this week. I cannot wait to see what it is in our next show.
I think our challenge is, can we come up with a dumb rumor of the week and create a dumb rumor of the week?
Ooh.
That goes out there.
Okay.
That's going to be our challenge. That's going to be our challenge.
No, our challenge is create a rumor, get some people behind it, make it happen.
Ooh. Mm.
All right. So, Rammstein 2022 for Germany.
Yeah.
They could not do worse.
No, they couldn't.
They do feel hate.
Yes.
So good.
We do feel hate. Fire for 2 minutes.
Fuego. Oh,
yeah.
Let's hire our budget on that one.
Let's see. I think that's about all we have for next year's Eurovision news. We do have a few little tidbits of junior news as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Azerbaijan not only has announced that they are returning to Junior Eurovision, but they've actually already announced the name of their singer. It's Sona Azizova, who was on The Voice Kids in Azerbaijan. So yeah, this is Azerbaijan's first time back in the contest since the 2018 event, where they came in 16th place out of 20 with Fidan Husseinova's I Wanna Be Like You. So we don't know the name of their song yet or anything along those lines, but we're just happy to have them back. It's so, so nice to have a return for anything, really. But because, I mean, this is going to be a rebuilding year after so many countries withdrew after the 2020 contest, or I should say prior to the 2020 contest. We have returns from Azerbaijan. We have a return from North Macedonia. We have Ireland returning.
Yes.
Which is so great. It's coming back.
It's back, baby. I'm excited.
Me too.
I enjoyed the timing of this announcement because it really felt like in a matter of like 2-3 days, they went from, I think we might come back, you know, we're thinking about it, we're hopeful, all the way to, we're coming back and this is what we're doing. Like, they figured it out quick.
Right.
It was nice.
It should be noted, though, I don't think we actually have any confirmation that Armenia is coming back yet.
They were kind of on the fence, weren't they?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, they withdrew last year from both junior and senior, so we don't know if Armenia is coming back, which is kind of an interesting thing when we see Azerbaijan popping back up again, but we'll see. I hope to see Armenia back. They generally put on a great show and do generally pretty well. well. But it also created one of those, one of my favorite moments that I've ever heard about from Junior. This is not a year that I was present, but supposedly at an after party after Junior a couple years back, the singers from Azerbaijan and the singer from Armenia were dancing together. Like everybody, aww, just all the kids were dancing in a circle, and the two they were dancing, and it's just a normal interaction between people. But the fact that it was an Armenian singer and an Azerbaijani singer, it's just a really very sweet moment, and this is what Junior's all about.
One possible note on Armenia: they had chosen their singer for 2020, Milena Fox. The song was released and all that. There is a YouTube video of her kind of saying, declaring that she will be representing them in 2021, that they're bringing her back. That is not official word from the broadcaster, obviously, but yeah, at least for the moment, she thinks she's coming back.
Yeah, the video's been floating around since May.
Yes.
So who knows? I mean, people are putting this on Wikipedia as if it's official. Again, I take it with a grain of salt. I don't tend to believe anything until it's actually coming out of a specific broadcaster or the EBU. That's my general rule when it comes to this kind of thing. I'd love to see her come back. I think that song that she released called Why was very solid. And she's still young enough to participate at Junior, but I'll believe when I see it.
Yeah, I think if they're back, it's going to be her. That feels like the safest thing we can say for certain at this point. And even that, it's hard to say.
Who knows?
But the possibility seems like it's there. So that's cool. Another Junior news, there was a big release saying Australia releases a statement regarding their Junior Eurovision participation.
And
the statement was, we're still thinking about it. So thanks, Australia, giving us a good 8 seconds of content for the show. Awesome. Let us know when you stop thinking about it, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, they're probably under a lot of restrictions when it comes to being able to leave the country. So I think there's probably a lot at play. And I don't know if Junior is going to offer the same flexibility that Senior did this year.
That's a good point.
Junior last year had a lot of flexibility.
Yeah, everything was pre-recorded, but it was on a duplicate stage. And they didn't necessarily do that for Senior.
And we don't really know those logistics at all for Junior at this point, do we? I mean, Sam, you and I both talked about going to Paris for covering this, and health permitting and all that, obviously. But we don't have enough information to go on. We know when the contest is going to be, but we don't really know anything about how it's going to work, if the acts are going to be there, anything like
that. Yep, that's true. But you know, I was chatting with somebody earlier this week, and in a realistic thing, it's also August in Europe, and a lot of people are on vacation right now. So things will come together. They always do. Don't stress.
It would be nice to know. That's all.
I know. Trust me. I saw a very, very cheap flight to Paris on Kayak, and I'm incredibly tempted.
How cheap are we talking?
Yeah, what are we talking about?
Like $650.
What?
Ooh.
I'll go just on principle.
Yeah, I should just go.
Yeah,
go.
I am tempted.
Guys, I've been eating baguettes for the last 3 hours. What have you been up to?
Oh, you have to roll me out the door and back onto the plane at the end of that. At the end of the week.
The food.
I am so happy that like Junior and Senior, these next two events, if we both get to go to both of these events, they're in good food cities.
Yeah.
I'm very, very fortunate when Eurovision takes me to a good food city.
Bad food city. London. Anyway, so.
Oh.
Take that, London.
What's that joke? They still eat like it's World War II.
Jesus. Wow.
But, I mean, on a lighter note.
My apologies to all of our British listeners.
Yeah, at least American cheese isn't your fault that we know of.
But we got Junior's 4 months away.
Yeah.
And we got lots of time. And I'm sure they've got contingency plans back and forth to cover everything. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if a few countries were like, we're going to do the remote thing.
I would
definitely
hope so.
Australia.
Assuming they're afforded the opportunity, which I imagine they will.
Yeah. With this amount of time, they probably have plans in their back pockets. So.
Yeah. The whole vaccination rate thing, I mean, it looks like Europe is starting to really push for it. Australia is kind of lagging behind quite a bit, though. So we'll see. But I imagine, you know.
And there's also the question of, with the ages of some of the contestants, are they even going to be old enough to receive vaccines, even if they do have the availability of it?
Yeah, they're not all 12.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Some aren't, but I mean, you can have singers as young as 8 or 9.
Yeah.
So.
And those parameters could potentially change between now and December.
Yeah.
But they'd have to change. I mean, they'd have to change before December to get it done and all of that. So
yeah.
Right.
The 2 weeks and then the 2 weeks and then the other 2 weeks. Yeah. I'm sure it'll happen. My guess is it's going to be a lot like last year, but we'll see. I'm very hopeful that we can get over there and meet some amazing, amazing artists and so on. That'd be so cool.
Yep, absolutely.
Next on the list is not super Eurovision related, but who cares? San Marino, our favorite little serene republic that could, had themselves an Olympics.
They had one hell of an Olympics. My gosh.
So they had 5 athletes in Tokyo. 3 of them won medals. Before that, they had sent... Oh, I'm not going to add those up. They had sent 100-plus athletes to the Olympics. None of them won medals. So that's cool. Three medals. They got a silver and a bronze in shooting and a bronze in wrestling.
And the
two things you associate with serenity. Alessandra Perilli won 2 medals, one for women's trap and one for mixed trap team. And the thing I noted on Twitter is that San Marino now has as many Olympic medals as it has Eurovision finals appearances.
And Sir has been in both.
Yep.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he won the bronze in the speed skating.
Ooh. Say na-na-na.
Yeah. Na-na-na. So congrats to everyone involved, especially Serhat, for that. Mm-hmm. That's great. 72nd place overall in terms of the medal table. That ties them with Argentina, as a matter of fact. So there you go. Ahead of Jordan, Malaysia, and Nigeria.
And with a population of about 33,500. So I keep using approximately the population of Roseville, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. The best city.
Your home city.
That's right.
It's the smallest nation by population to have won Olympic medals. So take that, Bermuda and Liechtenstein.
Jerks.
Per capita.
Yeah, per capita. That's incredible.
Statistically speaking, you're likely to run into a medalist just walking around San Marino.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Good on them.
So 0.01% of a goal of an Olympic medal per person in that country, which is pretty great.
Wow, we're terrible compared to that, aren't we?
Yes, we are. We had a lot more medals, obviously. We had we didn't have 3. We had 113, but our population is far more than 113 times what San Marino's is. So
I doubt we had 60% medalists
in terms of the number of competitors. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, definitely not.
Not so much.
Yeah, let's see what else we got. We have, this came in probably right after we recorded last time, because we just missed getting to talk about this.
Derek, cover your ears. It's more Monoskin news.
Is this one real this time?
Yes.
This one is real.
Okay.
It's already been released. It's weird. I never was expecting to say these two names in conjunction with each other, but Monoskin has re-released a version of I Wanna Be Your Slave with Iggy Pop. What? What?
I think it's awesome. Is there any information about how this collaboration came together? Like, who approached who?
I have no idea. I don't know if they're label mates or if somebody was just like, hey, Iggy, listen to this. Why don't you, you know... It doesn't seem like Måneskin really put any work into this. It was more like they took the cut of I Wanna Be Your Slave that we've already heard and just took out Damiano's vocals at some points and put in Iggy.
Oh,
so it's like a post-recording.
It seems like it. It's very Nat King Cole and Natalie Cole singing Unforgettable. only
way hornier.
Yes. Oh, God. Oh.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
Thank you.
You're not wrong. That doesn't make it wrong.
I am not wrong. It is wrong.
Yeah.
Sorry, everybody. I'm not. Anyway, yeah. It's... I don't love the collaboration, honestly. It does feel a little
clunky.
Yeah, but it's interesting.
The fact that it exists to me is more interesting than the actual cover itself.
Yeah, Iggy Pop is 74, so like he's the members of that band combined, basically.
Oh my God!
No, that's an exaggeration.
Not by much.
Not by much, but
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They're combined is like 83 or something.
Tops.
Yeah, still.
It's
too bad that they didn't actually collaborate that as like a post. Like, I'd like to see what they could do in studio together.
Right, yeah. Like, it's not curious. A studio collaboration. It's a remix with a verse added sort of a deal.
Hmm.
But it's still really cool.
Hmm.
Just to have a Eurovision act collaborating with Iggy Pop so immediately after the contest. I mean, this is just... It's meteoric, really.
It's validating.
Absolutely. It's
it's the opposite of the BBC saying James Newman, who finished last place at Eurovision.
Yeah.
It's the antithesis of that, basically.
No, absolutely.
At no point in that article did they mention Grammy winner James Newman.
Right. Why focus?
Anyway.
On the topic of acts.
Horniness.
Yes. on the topic of acts whose names start with an M and then an A with a circle over it, Måns Zelmerlöw has expanded his wine empire.
Yeah. I just got word today. We had mentioned previously that he has a cava, so a Spanish sparkling wine. It looks like he's also released a red wine as well, also from Catalonia, because when you think of Måns Zelmerlöw, you think Catalonia.
Mm-hmm.
The yellow tail of Sweden.
I mean,
the wine is called MZ Raval. It is a blend of Syrah and Grenache. The bottles evidently are post-consumer recycled glass, which is nice.
Hmm.
Bottle contains 65-75% recycled glass. According to the tasting notes, it has I feel like I should have like background music, like something kind of swanky in the background.
Let's get the
aroma. Generous fruit with a nice balance, nuanced and spicy aroma. Bouquet is dark, ripe forest berries such as wild raspberry, cherry, and blackberry. Slightly animal notes with hints of vanilla, oaky notes, some sweet licorice, mineral, and sage.
Whoa.
And that was just the aroma. Wait till I talk about the actual taste. It has a pleasant mouthfeel, full body.
That is the weirdest word in the English language to
mouth
me.
Mouthfeel?
Yes. Oh my God. I understand what it means. It's right there in the word, but I just, I don't know.
It's like moist.
It's way worse.
It's a moist mouthfeel.
Oh, Jesus.
Hold it around with your tongue.
Mm.
By the way, we need to get some of this on over to the U.S. so we can try it. Do we have a lead on that at one point? Somebody was maybe going to try and get some over here?
And anybody, if you have an in or have any way of getting this to us, either the Cava or the Raval, I am genuinely curious. Hit us up, again, social media, 12pointsUSA on Facebook or Twitter. Just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. We would love to get our hands on a couple of bottles of this. We will happily pay you back.
But we will very much make this worth your while. If you have a way to get this to us here in sunny, horrible Minnesota, then yeah, please, please, please do. I am dying to try this. The Cava in particular, but I won't be picky.
So
Oh, are you saying something?
Dummy, no. Mouthfeel. That's what I was saying. Mouthfeel.
I'm gonna go mouthfeel my way out of here.
Ew. Stop licking the doorknobs.
It's his doorknob now.
Oh. Yeah. At least you didn't pee on it.
That's all we have for news. We do have one little question we're going to throw out here. Picking this one because I don't know that Danny has seen a ton of old shows and would have a great answer for it. So we're doing it now. And it is, if you could go back and rewatch or witness a national final or a Eurovision, I guess. Let's say and rewitness it for the first time where you don't know what's going to happen. Mm. Or maybe you do. Your call. But what would you go with? What would you want to re-experience?
Oh, man. It's hard. I mean, I would love to relive my first in-person Eurovision again, 2011.
Oh, that's when Azerbaijan won.
Which is why I'm not saying 2011.
Oh, okay.
But there are aspects of it I would love to do it again. I, for a while, like my go-to thing that I would watch just as like, just to have on the background between liking the music and just really kind of diving into a Eurovision back catalog kind of thing. The 2010 Estonian National Final for me was stacked. And it was a shocking win as well, just because Malcolm Lincoln's Siren ended up taking the win over Lena Kurma, who is a very, very well-known singer over there. And just the surprise of that, because she ended up winning in the first part of the final. He ended up taking the super final. And it was just such an exciting and random victory, capping off a show filled with really, really interesting and original music that I absolutely love and I still continue to listen to. Looking at the list here, I honestly listen to about 8 or 9 of these songs out of 10 on a regular basis now.
Wow.
Yeah. I would love to relive that for the first time.
Derek, how about you?
Witness a National Fed or a contest?
Sure.
Do you mean like wipe my memory and watch it from scratch?
Yeah, Eternal Sunshine it.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say Men in Black, but this is weird. I'd want to watch the final from 2016 again.
Ooh.
Because it came so down to the wire between three countries. And I've never felt that tension in the room ever since. Like, people were just waiting for them to say who was going to win it. And the reaction was just so big when they finally called out the final score. And I was like, it's like, this is so much fun. And I feel like ever since then, it's just kind of been a given who's going to win to a certain extent, which is unfortunate. Like, I was kind of hoping, I mean, ultimately the scores were closer, but going into it, it's like, well, this seems like it's going to be the Netherlands. I mean, come on. Honestly, also, I would love to go and watch the 2021 semifinals, just to go and see them.
Mm. Mm.
I would have loved to have been there just in person, because this is the first year I've been able to do that in a while, and God, just to watch it in the room. I mean, it was fun watching it on TV, but at the same time, it's like, I'm watching this on TV.
Yeah.
See, that's all I know. So,
which is still great.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess when you put it that way, I would just, you can pick one for me. I don't care. Just send me. Let me go. Let me see it. A few things came to mind for me, though. The 2017 final would have been a really neat one to see, just because of the absolutely massive scores and the Portugal finally getting that win after 600 years of attempts or whatever it was. National finals, I have a couple of favorites. One is 2017 Melfest. There's nothing uproariously unusual or crazy about it. It's just an incredible field. We've talked about it on the show before. I would still love to do an episode on it at some point. Similarly, 2014 Latvia.
Oh, yes.
That one has, and that might be my pick, actually, because it has a serious amount of political intrigue to it for a national final. We have Revelation, what is the best way to describe this? It's like an orchestral punk song.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yes.
That basically went off script and went into a big, big thing about was it Crimea that was happening like right as that was going on.
Yep.
And decrying that and so on and so forth. And a lot of other great acts and songs in that final, obviously. And then a winner that I certainly wouldn't have ever predicted. It's Cake to Bake.
Still love it. No shame.
But like, who else? What else? Samantha Tina is in that one.
Yeah, Aminata's in there for the first time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Really? My Radiant You Going All the Way is another favorite of mine. Dons, who was the expected winner.
Dons Delmer.
Marcus Riva shows up because he's Marcus Riva and he's got to be there.
It's what he does.
It's what he do. That was a really...
But yeah, I mean, any of the finals since I started following the contest to have been there. I mean, I just go down the list and it's really just all of them. Wouldn't have been cool to see Conchita win or to see Mons win or to see Jamala win or Netta or Duncan or Måneskin or Scene Missing in 2020. Like, ooh, can that be my answer?
To
find out who would have won in 2020, but I wouldn't be able to tell anyone.
Ooh, how
crazy. Or I'd be like, what is it, Cassandra?
Cassandra.
Yeah, I would have it, but nobody would believe me.
Go through some portals to an alternate dimension.
Yeah. So next week on Marvel's What If, we'll find out who won the 2020 Eurovision.
Peggy Carter, for some reason.
Wakanda. I bet they have a good music scene.
Wakanda?
In Wakanda.
Oh, yeah. I'd imagine it'd be incredible.
Yeah. Derek, what do you think? You're looking at us like, you idiots.
That's how he always looks at us.
I know.
That's why we're friends.
I was thinking Run the Jewels did some music for the movie, so it's like, would that be their entry?
A lot of Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, you folks at home, let us know, what is your favorite either Eurovision moment that you would love to see again with fresh eyes? Let us know again, Facebook or Twitter. That's 12pointsUSA. Email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. And again, whatever questions you have for us, even if they're not related to Eurovision, send them our way. We need these questions. We would love, love, love to have these questions for our upcoming 100th episode. If you want to know what kind of cookie Danny likes the best, ask. It's okay. Nothing's
ask us our favorite store-bought cookie.
Mm.
I know what yours is, Derek, but you're going to have to wait till episode 100 to find
That's
out.
That's right, yeah. So yeah, stay tuned for that. The big cookie debate will be settled in episode 100, apparently. And
yeah, we'll see.
Yeah!
We will see y'all in about 2 weeks or so. And honestly, 2 weeks, it's going to be really exciting because in 2 weeks, it's going to be past the September 1st threshold.
Ooh.
And we all know what that means, right, guys?
All the songs get released in the first couple of days.
Wait, what?
We get to start
can you imagine? What would we do? Like,
we'd have to parse it out.
Yeah.
Drink from the fire hose.
I was just thinking, like, September 1st, yeah, it's going to be the start of Eurovision season. And then
nothing happens.
But it's a symbolic...
The important thing is that something could happen.
Yeah, yes. There we go.
And that's all that matters.
Yeah.
You could be listening to the winning song right now.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. If it's 3 minutes or less...
I'm just thinking if there's like a mere... They kind of discovered his song and said, hey, we can edit this down to 3 minutes and send it to Eurovision if you want.
Yeah.
Like something like that could happen.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So exciting.
Yeah.
But we will talk about that, I suppose, in 2 weeks' time. But until then, we will see you later on. I've been Samantha.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Derek.
Oh.
No Danny.
Oh, he's not back yet. That's okay.
Talking long enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, America.
Stop listening now!
Turnabout is fair play, mother...